I now have a profound respect for people that do any kind of long endurance training. Again, when I was playing football, the thought of running even a mile was like, why would anyone do that when you can just sprint 30 yards? It seems a lot more efficient.
That was Adam Nealis, and this is episode 187 of the Inspired Souls podcast. Hi, I'm Carolyn, and I'm a road runner.
And I'm Kim, and I'm a trail runner. Welcome to our podcast, where we bring the communities of trail and road running together and explore the parallels between running and life.
Adam Nealis is a 27-year-old strength and conditioning specialist at Testify Performance in Winnipeg. Over the past 7 years, he has trained everyday athletes, pro athletes, and everybody in between to reach their performance potential in their chosen sports while reducing injuries along the way. A graduate of kinesiology at the University of Manitoba, where he was also a linebacker on the football team, Adam is currently working his way through a master's in exercise science while training for his first marathon. Adam's foray into long-distance running began less than a year ago when he decided to train for the 2023 Manitoba Half Marathon. Although he felt like dying and wanted to die, just the kind of type 2 fun he enjoys most, he pressed on and finished in a very respectable 1 hour and 47 minutes. A few months later, he crushed a 44-minute 10K at WFPS and figured the only thing left was a marathon. Of course, Kim couldn't miss this opportunity to challenge him to ultra distances should he ever become bored with just the marathon distance in the future. In this conversation, we delve into why he wanted to run the Manitoba Marathon, how he is trained, whether or not his approach to strength training has changed, and what his goals are for race day. Even though training for football and distance running may be very different and perhaps a shock to Adam's system, we think he'll feel right at home this Father's Day as he completes his final 100 yards on the same turf that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers play on in Princess Auto Stadium. And I, for one, can hardly wait to cheer him on. So without further delay, please join us in welcoming Adam Nealis to the show. All right, Adam, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to do this and share whatever little insight I can to your guys' audience.
Yeah. Well, you are a strength and conditioning coach at the gym that I've been going to for the past several months, and we've had some great conversations around your preparation for your first marathon, which is coming up in about 8 or 9 weeks here from the time of this recording. You're going to be running the Manitoba Marathon, and we want to hear all about it because I think many people who are listening will have fond memories or maybe not so fond memories of their experience training for their first marathon. And maybe some people listening have never run a marathon and have it on their bucket list and they can learn something from this chat. But why don't we start by just getting to know you a little bit? I mentioned that you work at the gym that I go to, and I know you've got an athletic background as a football player. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Who is Adam Nealis?
Yeah, so I'm a strength and conditioning coach at Testify Performance. Obviously, Carolyn, where you've been training for the last handful of months. I've been doing that kind of since I was pursuing my undergrad in kinesiology at the U of M since 2017. So I've been kind of involved in the field for a handful of years and at Testify for the last 5 years. Within that, I kind of work with a range of pretty much any clientele, coming from, you know, people getting into the gym for the first time, all the way to pro athletes in the CFL and NHL. So it's a really unique facility. It's a really awesome experience. That's a little bit about me. Background wise, you mentioned my athletics. I played 4 years of university football at the University of Manitoba, which is kind of how I got into the realm of strength and conditioning and training. And then I've managed to stay sort of in a similar discipline, obviously, throughout the rest of my career. But I guess more relevant to this and what we'll be talking about this evening is over the last, I guess, 18 months or so, I've taken to running and my first ever ordeal into endurance sports.
Ordeal. But,
yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Coming to the dark side?
Coming to the dark side, exactly. So, The 2023 Manitoba Half Marathon was my first race, and kind of just hit the ground running from there. I've done a couple since, and then, as you mentioned, obviously planning to run the Manitoba Full Marathon in 9 weeks here. And I'm super grateful and fortunate that you've been able to lend a ton of super valuable insight over the last couple of weeks in chatting.
Well, Adam, I think this might be one of the first podcasts that we've done that my son might actually want to listen to, because I have two high school football playing boys. My oldest is really trying to pursue the university track. And the longest distance he's ran lately is the 40-yard dash. And I think he probably thinks, I will never, ever, ever do what mom does. I will never run long distances. But this might be an interesting episode for him to listen to. So I'm excited to talk to you more about, how a person who maybe does the beep test in the 40-yard dash turns into a marathon runner. This is going to be a good one.
Well, this is sort of funny too. And Adam, I was telling you this the other week, but just like all of a sudden, my daughter's taken up football. Like, I don't even think she knew that football existed before about a month ago. And now she's like playing for the school team, and she's on a club team, and she's been asked to do a couple practices with the provincial team. So all of a sudden, in addition to volleyball and track, now we've got football on the go. So you've got something in common with us here. So why don't we talk about where this strength training? So obviously you are big into strength training as part of your training for football, but I'm kind of curious, and obviously you do it for a job too, but what's your overall strength training philosophy, and have you had to make any adjustments now that you're training to be a long distance runner as opposed to a football player?
Yeah, no. I think when we start talking philosophically on the whole strength training side of things, there's two sort of perspectives. There's kind of how I view it as a coach and a professional, and kind of how I may view it working with a client versus, you know, how my relationship with strength training for myself particularly. So as far as as a professional and as a coach, I think there's not nearly as much of a dissonance between strength training and endurance training as it's often made out to be. There's a way to accommodate any kind of goal or personality or skill set with strength training, and you can really utilize it to accomplish anything that you need training-wise, whether it be for a football player trying to, you know, bulk up and get ready for a season versus a runner trying to prepare for a marathon or an ultra race or anything. There's a million different ways you can go with it. So a lot of people kind of talk about the polarizing ends of strength training versus endurance training, when there really is a pretty big middle ground or gray area that you can operate in that's conducive mm-hmm. for progress in both. And then as far as with myself, I'm fortunate enough to have made a career doing something I'm very passionate about from a young age. So strength training has always been a big part of my life. It's, you know, at this point, I kind of just consider it a hobby. It's something I like doing in my free time. And it was something I wanted to be sure that I maintained and kept up as I kind of delved into more of the endurance training side of things. And it's been a fun process kind of trying to meander and navigate what balancing the two looks like, because prior to training for the 2023 half, it looked a lot different than it looks now, as one could imagine. But no, it's been
so
a really
tell us fun more about that. Like, how different? What's changed?
So, I mean, I guess I come from a little bit of a different background, being a football player. When you think of, you know, your stereotypical football weight room with a bunch of guys in sleeveless shirts lifting as much heavy weight as they can and screaming at each other, it's a stereotype because it's exactly true. That's exactly what we do. It's as Neanderthal-like as possible. So I was entrenched in that from high school all the way through, you know, university. And it was awesome. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I loved it. That's how I grew my passion for strength and conditioning. And it's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Obviously, when I want to go out and be running 40 miles a week, I probably can't be, you know, trying to load up as much weight as possible on the barbell and back squatting three times a week. So it's been kind of balancing how I can sort of tickle my itch of, you know, still doing my heavier strength-based training and doing what I enjoy while also making sure it's not deterring from my training. So it's taking a much more calculated approach. Obviously, you know, I'm not expecting to go through this 12-week marathon prep and also get stronger and bigger. It's just not feasible with the amount of work you have to do. But just use it as an opportunity to try some new things in the gym, be it, you know, maybe more bodybuilding type stuff, more mobility and stability type stuff, but challenge myself in a different way other than, you know, just measuring, am I getting stronger? Is there more weight on the bar?
Right.
So finding ways to be creative in that to keep things fresh and also, you know, keep that component in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned sort of that shift over to more mobility, stability, like actually hypertrophy and all that. It maybe isn't so much the goal anymore. It's more maintaining as you're swinging the pendulum and focusing a bit more on running. Would that be like kind of a nice way to sum it up? Or is there something else that you would say as like the major difference? Because I think you used to lift quite a bit and like often. I think I heard you say you're down to 5 days a week now from more than like, that, right?
Yeah. So like, you know, previously I'd probably be training at least 5, maybe 6 times a week, usually at a pretty high intensity in terms of, you know, I'm trying to squat more weight or bench more weight or whatever it might be, versus now it's realistically probably 3 or 4. And my goal now is kind of get in and get some decent work in for an hour and, you know, feel good about myself, but make sure whatever I'm doing isn't going to detract from whatever run I have the next day. Or, you know, if I'm working out on Wednesday, I'm making sure I'm keeping my legs fresh because I've got a speed workout on Thursday and I don't want to feel like I'm standing in wet sand the whole time out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's where I kind of wanted to go a little bit more, was on the timing, the order of your workouts, the recovery needed. You know, we've often said, don't rob tomorrow by what you do today, right? But it depends what you want to do tomorrow. So is there ever a time that you will do a strength training workout on the same day as a run? And if so, will it be before or after your run?
Yeah, usually typically after. I have in the past during a lot of like training regimens, I'll do like if I have like an easy run that's, you know, anywhere between 45 minutes and an hour and 10 minutes, I'll do that in the morning. And then I can, you know, I'm usually fine to do like an upper body workout later at the gym that day. I'll try not to condense, you know, if I'm running and then I go and try and do some like lower body intensive work, it's usually kind of draining and I might get through it, but feel like I'm half asleep for the rest of the day. So it's usually just not great. But yeah, it's manageable. I've found like I prefer now, especially now that my training runs are getting longer because I'm not training for a half or a 10K, to just have them all on their own standalone day. Just if I'm running for an hour and a half and then I also want to go drive to the gym and work out, all of a sudden that's 3.5-4 hours. Not ideal, right? So so yeah, now trying to keep them into one day at a time, just so it's broken up and I have a little bit of time away from training to get regular life human things done. Try to do that as much as I can.
Right. So before we get more into your running and your marathon, I do just want to go a little bit to, we asked you how your strength training might have changed as you started training for something you've never done before, which is a marathon. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's changed your perspective a little bit as you train some of your clients. So what are you
like
finding?
All these middle-aged women that come into the gym working for your counsel. Do you understand us a little bit more now?
Yeah. Like, do you find you have a different maybe way of approaching things based on some personal experience now that you might not have had 2 years ago?
100%. I think first and foremost, I now have a profound respect for people that do any kind of long endurance training. Again, when I was playing football, similar to as you talked about your son, I think the longest I'd ever run was maybe a 300-yard shuttle. The thought of running even a mile was like, why would anyone do that when you can just sprint 30 yards? It seems a lot more efficient.
Yeah, right?
You're not wrong.
So I think just getting context and a respect for the time and dedication and effort it takes to do an endurance-based sport is something I've definitely gained. You know, I have a handful of clients. I work with a handful of people that participate in endurance sports, whether it's running or biking or Ironmans or triathlons. So to have, you know, not quite the full context, but a little bit of a taste of kind of what they're doing now when they come to me on a Monday and they tell me they're tired because they ran 30 kilometers over the weekend in years past, I'd be like, well, that was dumb. Why would you do that? And now I can go, oh, well, you know, I bet you're abs and hamstrings probably feel like they weigh 700 pounds today. Maybe let's take it a little bit easy and just get the blood flowing a little bit and get you moving. But no, it's honestly in multiple facets, it's been a very valuable experience for me, selfishly just because I enjoy it and I feel I've gotten more fit from it. But even professionally now, I feel like I have a different lens to kind of view training myself and training clients through.
You've walked a mile or ran a mile in our shoes now. So you get it. Well, you get it a little bit more.
Yeah. And it gives you legitimacy, right? Like you can actually talk to people now and go, yeah, I really know what you're feeling. I'll go easy on you. Or guess what? I know what you're feeling and I'm not going to back down. You're going to do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So people tend to listen to you more when you've done it, right?
For sure.
It can go either way. If I want you to work harder, I can just be like, Kate, well, imagine, you know, we're doing quarter mile repeats up a hill. That's not going to feel good either. I want it to kind of feel like that.
Yeah. That's absolutely. So true. Okay. Well, you mentioned that you ran a half last year at Manitoba Marathon, right? So last June you did a half marathon. That was your first half marathon. And you said you've done a couple since then. So maybe before, again, we get into like exactly what you're doing to train for your marathon, give us a little bit, like how did that first half marathon go? It couldn't have been awful, or you probably wouldn't have wanted to do it again.
Yeah. No, honestly, it was an awesome experience. I did well. It was my first, you know, foray into running. It was a spark decision made with a friend chatting over a couple of beers one night. And we said, hey, you know what, let's run the half marathon next summer. And we're like, all right, sure. So we signed up as early as we could. So we were both locked into doing it. We couldn't back out. And it ended up being an awesome experience. And then, yeah, I remember telling everyone when I signed up for that and started training, I was like, yeah, I'm going to train for this. I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to be done running. And now that was almost a year ago. And look at us now. I'm on a running podcast.
Yep.
So what finish time did you have after your first one?
I was an hour 47.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then you said you did another one in the fall as well?
Yeah, I ran the, what is it? It's the WFPS in the fall, the 10K. I wanted to try a really fast one.
Oh, you did a 10K. Good.
Maybe because I was probably a little too scared to do another full half marathon training cycle. So maybe I thought the 10K would be easier. But it was good. I wanted to try a nice short, fast one. So I tickled that itch. And then I realized pretty much the only thing left is a full. So I might as well do the damn thing.
And what do you think? So you had a couple different distances under your belt, like 147, very respectable half marathon, especially for a first half marathon. What else, or maybe that was it, like what gave you confidence that you were ready to tackle the full marathon 1 year later?
So what kind of spurred it was at the expo before the half marathon, I'm standing in line ready to pick up my bib. And you sort of have your tables set out and they're sectioned off for whatever race you're running. And the half marathon line is super long. I'm kind of standing in line. And then just to the left of it, I see the full marathon registration table. And there's not that many people going up to it. And I think, you know what, maybe it'd be fun to try one of those one time. And then like that's the devil on my shoulder, the angel on my shoulder saying, shut up, you haven't even ran a half yet. Let's figure out if we can even do this before we start thinking about a full. But honestly, like before I'd even ran the half, I was like, you know what? We'll see how this goes. And if my leg doesn't fall off trying to run 13 miles, maybe we'll try and run 26 next June. And then, yeah, I finished the half and loved the experience of like actually doing a race. I always heard that, you know, you're going to get the adrenaline dump when you're running a race and it's going to be like nothing you've ever experienced. And I was like, yeah, you know, whatever. I played college sports. I've played in front of people. I'm sure it's no different, but no, I can attest it's a crazy experience. It's awesome. Just you honestly feel like a superhero.
So you didn't feel like you were going to die at the end of the half marathon? Like you held it together?
I should correct. The last 5 miles, not only did I feel like I was going to die, I wanted to die. But I have a weird relationship with exercise, especially anything endurance based, where I prefer it to be very painful. I don't want to just do something. I don't want to just finish the half marathon. I don't want to just finish the full marathon. I want to run my best time possible to the point where I'm, you know, kind of delirious running through the finish line. I guess that's just my inner football player and competitor. So yes, the last 45 minutes of the half marathon were completely miserable, but that's exactly how I wanted it to be. But yeah,
you,
even
that, you know what? I'm going to interrupt for a second. You said that what's left, the only thing left is a marathon. Listening to you, that's not the only thing left.
Yeah.
There's ultras. There's a whole other world out there. And if you want to feel miserable, I can suggest a few options for you beyond the marathon level.
Sounds like I'm all aboard a very slippery slope right now.
I think you are. You don't even know what you're in for.
I can think of another Manitoban that started doing a half marathon, actually even less. Remember Mr. 8 Miles, Ihor Berries? And now has, you know, basically ran the second longest of any human on the planet at a backyard ultra. So you never know where this is going to go. But anyways, back to you. So you decided you were going to do this marathon, and I'm curious because I know you work out in the gym where you work at the gym where Carolyn also trains, and she's an amazing coach. So did you try and recruit her to coach you, or did you like, what kind of a plan did you choose, and where did he get it from?
Yeah, so I you know, this is a bit of a touchy subject, Kim. I have empathy for Carolyn because, you know, being a coach myself, I find myself in many a social conversation where within 5 seconds I can tell exactly where it's going, and it's someone asking if I can write them a workout plan. And I'm sure Carolyn gets this, you know, just as often as I. So I had heard that Carolyn was starting with us, and I'd heard that she was a running coach and actually coached a couple of our existing clients. So I knew what I was getting into when she came in for her session, and I met her, and I knew that I was planning on training for this full marathon, and I knew that she would definitely be a very useful resource. Carolyn, I've never
scoping you from the beginning. Sorry, go ahead.
But I wanted to make sure I at least had like 20 to 30 minutes of small talk with her before I full on went, can you help me train for my marathon? I think I might have made it like the full first session without directly asking for help. And then, yeah, by like the second or third time, I was like, hey, you know, you probably have some resources that can help me along my way. And lo and behold, she's been incredibly helpful throughout this whole process. So I'm happy I asked.
I asked that question not knowing you were going to give that kind of an answer. But yeah, so what kind of a plan did you end up following?
So she's got me working. What's her last name? Claire Bartholik, I think is her name.
You got it. You got it. Yeah. Yep.
A very thorough 12-week broken down program. It's like a 60-page PDF, which is exactly the amount of detail I would want.
Okay.
And so I've been in the middle of that, and I've kind of been picking Carolyn's brain week by week on little specific workouts and little caveats of the program, almost to the point where I feel that one of these days she might just like send me an invoice for her services. I wouldn't.
But, oh my gosh!
No, it's funny. It's been really good. Obviously, it's the only marathon training program I've done, but it's very thorough and it seems to be working well for me. It's conducive to still being able to maintain some work in the gym. So it's 4 runs per week, which is super manageable for me to still get in 3 to 4 workouts. And I'm only 4 weeks into it now, but I've been enjoying it thus far.
I'm curious, as a student of kinesiology and now, I think you said you're taking your master's in exercise physiology. Is that correct? How does the training plan align with some of your knowledge of human physiology? Have you had any kind of moments where you were like, that doesn't make sense to me? Or conversely, wow, this exactly matches what I've been taught and learned in school.
It's funny you ask that. So I don't want to speak down on universities or the educational programs there, just in case there's any of my former professors listening or people that might want to hire me in the future. I love universities, but the extent of endurance training knowledge we get in that program is like, 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity per week. I did that on Sunday, you know?
Weekly goal check.
you don't learn so much about the, you know, we'll call a spade training for a marathon is an extreme. Obviously within that extreme, you can go to uber extremes as you touched on earlier, but, you know, it is an extreme and you are going far beyond the norm of, you know, what academia or your typical person deems active, right? You know, a lot of people think going for a mile and a half jog is active. If I was asking Carolyn for coaching advice and told her, yeah, I ran a mile and a half on Sunday, she would be like, well, how did the 11 miles after that go? it's honestly, I think one of the aspects of getting into running I've enjoyed the most is it's almost completely uncharted territory. Every time I, you know, look something up or look into a training style, I'm learning something new. I'm learning stuff I haven't learned before. It's very far removed from, you know, your weight training and strength training philosophy. So it's new content for me and my brain to take in and digest. All sorts of new running influencers on Instagram that I've never seen before. It's definitely not something that academia prepares you for, but I think it's awesome.
Back to kind of one of those first conversations that we had at the gym, what really struck me about you is that you are a student. Like, you're bringing that student mindset. Like, you're not coming in thinking like, I'm the trainer and I know everything and do exactly what I say. Like, there was a very clear, like within the first minute of talking to you, I'm like, okay, this guy like wants to learn. He's like really into it. And you had I think you had come with already learning something because you were already doing so much stuff right. Like, I wouldn't hand a 12-week plan over to somebody that had like, you know, they're doing their first marathon and they had no base and no background. Like, you'd already clearly done some reading and preparation because you were running regularly and, you know, decently long, and you had some like structure to your training and everything already.
Long-term athletic background too, right? With some basic, you know, tendon strength and musculoskeletal load, you know, history. So that makes a difference as well.
So I'm kind of wondering, like, tell us a little bit about how training is going, and maybe if anything, like if you've learned something profound or something's like super surprised you in the training, like what's kind of been your biggest takeaways from the training so far?
Honestly, like with something like this, it's so routine oriented that I think consistency, it can't be overstated how important just being consistent is. It's doing the boring things really well when you have to. It's going for your easy runs that are way slower than you think you could run, for way longer than you really feel like running, but doing it because you keep stacking and aggregating those easy aerobic threshold workouts, and all of a sudden your speed work and your pace work is getting faster, and your ability to hold on to those sustained efforts on your long runs gets easier. When I was training for my half marathon, I had just gotten this new Garmin watch. It's cool. It tells you exactly how fast you're going. And I was so fixated on pace. I knew if I wanted to run this distance in this time, I had to be running my mileage in this time, but oh no, I can't get my heart rate too high. And you're getting very myopic and worrying about all these little minor things. Versus now, I'm just like, okay, this program says 6 miles easy. I'm just going to go. I'm not going to look at my watch, and I'm going to run 6 slowish miles and have a good time and feel good after. And then when it's time to go on a speed or threshold type workout, I know that I've done the requisite work and I can kind of hit the gas today and make it hurt when I want to make it hurt and hold back when I need to hold back. So I think just being consistent and not trying to set records in week 3 of the program, knowing that you've got 12 weeks of building, and there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be weeks that you feel great, and there's probably going to be more weeks along the way that I kind of feel like trash, but it's kind of all part of the process, and you just have to keep consistently doing it. You know, Claire, who made this program, obviously knows, no pun intended, but miles and miles more about running than me. So I'm just going to trust what she has to say. Same if you give me insight, I'm just going to take your word for it because you've been doing this for a lot longer than me. Same way that if you came to me and asked how you could get bigger quads and hamstrings, you would probably take my insight, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think just, I mean, it's a cliche saying, but I think just trusting the process. So long as you have a good process set out, it's going to take you to your outcome. So I think just, you know, be present, be along for the ride, and trust that aggregating all of this small, easy work is going to result in kind of reaching your outcome.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right. Well, and you also come to this, though, I think in maybe not a unique place, but probably a different place than a lot of first-time marathoners. I mean, you have been an athlete for life, right? And you've seen the results of what you just said. Trust the process, aggregate all the smaller, you know, pieces of work into a larger body of work. You've seen that work in football. You've seen that work in school, right? You've seen that work in your half marathon. And so why the heck not? Would it work for a marathon? So I'm going to go a little bit, you know, lateral with a follow-up question to that, though. Whenever somebody does something for the first time, you know, it is, I call it like being a cook versus a chef in the kitchen, right? Cooks have to follow a recipe and eventually a chef can throw ingredients together and come up with a great dish, more on feel and intuition. So right now, from the marathon perspective, you're probably more like a cook. You're following this plan, but we don't want to become so married to the plan that it owns us, right? And it can eventually sabotage the whole process. So how do you balance that? Because I'm sure you see that in strength training, right? Like, I have this plan, but today I'm just not feeling it. I know I'm going to pull something if I do this. Do you ever feel a little, you know, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other going, follow the plan, the spreadsheet on the fridge says this. And then the other, you know, the other ear is telling you, you know what, I'm just not feeling right today. Maybe I should do something different. How often do you choose to follow the plan no matter what versus listening to what your body's telling you to do at this point in your training age as a marathon runner?
I love that you use that analogy because that the chef versus cook is something I always refer back to when talking about like coaching and writing programs as a strength and conditioning coach. It's the exact same as you described it. Situationally, you can find yourself in the situations of where do I be a chef versus where can I be a cook? So it's funny that you kind of draw that parallel between the two. I think kind of playing back into my sporting background too, I kind of grew up being indoctrinated into that environment of even if you're sore, do it anyways. Even if it hurts, do it anyways. Kind of just jam that square peg through the round hole until that hole is square. honestly, for the most part, I follow the program pretty strict, even if I'm feeling a little beat up. If it's the way my brain works, if it's on a spreadsheet and something's telling me to do it, but I think it's going to be really hard, I welcome that challenge. And I almost get more excited than to do it than if I feel great. And you know, I feel great today. This speed interval workout it's going to be challenging, but it shouldn't be too bad, versus my legs feel like death today. This speed workout is going to be the worst. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get more. I almost get more fulfillment out of something like that. And again, I think I've talked to Carolyn about this a little bit as we've been working through the program. And when it comes to my running and I'm given the opportunity to be a chef, my football background usually lends to doing things a little bit too hard. I think I had explained, I made myself a little speed interval workout and I'd explained it to Carolyn and she was like, don't do that. That's
In the nicest possible way, right?
You're insane. No.
I was like, how about we just leave one or two in the tank, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Sort of teaching that principle of cumulative fatigue. Like, you're on week four of a 12-week program. And, you know, if we keep up this intense pace for the next 8 weeks, you might not feel so hot at the end, right? And so, yeah, it's, I think that's what's beautiful though. And that's kind of like what's beautiful about this podcast is we learn from each other that do different, like kind of approach the sport from different angles. Your football background sort of is like, okay, yeah, we do it like this in football, and it might be a little, we approach it a little bit differently in marathon training. So yeah.
But that's where experience comes in, right? You've got to do it once, twice, three times, a few seasons, a few races to start to learn what works, what pains to ignore, what ones you have to attend to. And sure. that's the exciting, curious part of it is you're always an experiment of one, right?
Yeah. And speaking of challenges, I think, Carolyn, you didn't necessarily discourage it, but you might have gently tried to talk me out of doing that Michigan workout last week. I did it, and it was awesome.
Did you do it? Yeah, okay. It
was painful, but I loved every second of it. It was great.
Okay. This is what I wanted to go to next. So maybe describe to us like last week's, just in general, like what did you do for a workout? What did you do for a long run? Like just to kind of paint this picture, 8 weeks, 9 weeks out from race day, what kind of things are you doing?
Yeah, so last week is a good example. It was like our sort of end of the first build. I'm in a bit of a down week this week. So last week was, it was a good little grind. It started with an easy run. Our speed workout was the Michigan, which we don't need to delve into the nitty gritty of how it's broken up, but it's a lot of really fast running. And then it ends with the 400 meter kind of all out effort to finish. And right as I was doing it outside, right as my watch cued in to start that interval, I kid you not, an immediate 40 kilometer an hour side wind and freezing rain. The rest, this was on last Thursday. The rest of the run had been like sun. I'm in a tank top. It's really nice out. And literally within 20 seconds, gale force winds and freezing rain for the whole last 400 meter sprint. And I thought, this is awesome. Why wouldn't this happen, right?
Yeah.
Why
not? Yeah.
So that was a pretty fun way to cap that off. And then, over the weekend, I had a 16-mile run, a 6-mile study run on Saturday, and then a 16-mile long run on Sunday, which was the longest distance I've run thus far. It was awesome. I loved it. It's, you know, it's obvious.
You survived?
I survived. I'm still standing.
And you didn't come to Wellington Crescent so I could run with you for the last after my pacing gig.
So I was there. I may or may not have slept in about an extra hour and a half. So I was there about 10:30. But it was great. It's I'm at the point now in the program where these long runs, I'm covering like the longest distance I've ever run. So you get that little pat on the back. You know, hey, I haven't done that before. That feels good. And you're kind of just, again, you're stacking up those small little wins along the way. And it's going great.
16 miles, no joke. No joke.
Do you understand why we record this podcast on Monday nights now? Like why Monday is a good night to get runners when they're not going to bed early, etc.
Yeah. So if we may, let's fast forward to June 16th, Father's Day, 2024, and you're about to set off on the Manitoba Marathon. What are your hopes, dreams, goals? What do you envision for yourself that day?
So the number one goal is sub 4 hours. It was a very arbitrary goal, kind of taken out of reading on the internet that people say, hey, if you can run a full marathon in under 4 hours, you're a decent runner. So I would love nothing more than to be deemed a decent runner. I think sub 4 above all else is the goal. And I'd like to say my second goal is to have fun, but I know like the last 2.5 hours of it are going to be anything but fun. But I think, I don't know, I would like to run the race and kind of know that all of this work I've been, not even just the 12-week program I've been doing, but kind of all the training I've been doing since I finished the half, I would just like to know that, you know, it paid off and feel happy with my investment of time and effort that I've put into this, because it has been, you know, a transition of things in my life where I'm devoting a lot more of my free time to a new ordeal. So I think to get some gratification from throughout the actual marathon of all that work paying off and, you know, feeling like I ran the race to the best of my capabilities, and I sure as shit hope the best of my capabilities are less than 4 hours.
All right. Love it. Interestingly, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but today was the Boston Marathon. So on the time of this recording on April 15th, we had the 128th running of the Boston Marathon. Many runners, like not necessarily in their first marathon, but they get hooked and, you know, eventually have running the Boston Marathon on their bucket list. I'm curious, at this stage of the game, do you see the Manitoba Marathon as a one and done? Do you see yourself becoming potentially a serial marathoner and trying to make it to Boston someday? Or is it way too early to tell and we'll decide after Father's Day?
I have to be careful how I answer this, because I like to consider myself a man of my word, and whatever I say is going to be recorded and published to the world. But I want to see how this one goes. I don't see myself giving up running completely. I feel like without saying so many words, that probably means I'll run another marathon after this. I'm trying not to focus on what it looks afterwards and kind of just be kind of all in on the preparation I'm putting into this, and, you know, whatever happens can be a byproduct of how this race and preparation goes.
You know, you never get another first. So the first time at doing any distance is special. So I think that's really wise, is just enjoy the process with this one, celebrate the type two fun. You strike me as a person who will actually consider a whole lot of pain fun. So that last 6 miles is going to be the most fun of your life. And I think you're approaching this with just the right mindset. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And I've got some great coaches leading me along the way. So.
Well, yeah, I guess along those lines, has there been anyone, you mentioned you've started following people on Instagram and sort of bringing some people into this whole running world of yours, who has been particularly inspiring or influential along the way so far?
You know what? This is a great time to shout out some real ones. Shout out to Rachel Penner and Cindy Dobson, Testify athletes that ran Boston today.
Yes.
Above all the other influencers, they're dope. They're awesome to be around. Getting to pick their brains about running and training and obviously doing it at an incredibly high level, right? Like Boston, we're pretty much talking the world stage here at this point.
Yes, yes. The People's Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, the whole influencer side of things, it's kind of all the same. It's good content, and, you know, I view it as it is a net positive in that they're all getting more people physically active and more people involved with running. But, you know, there's guys like obviously Nick Bear is a big one, and he's, you know, he's melding the running and the weightlifting together. I mean, that's like a kind of template that I guess I could sort of scribe to or follow. I'm not, you know, getting Go One More tattooed on my wrist and buying the hats yet, but who knows? Maybe if I get a couple
yet.
More.
Being the operative word.
I'll be drinking the Kool-Aid too, but no, Cindy and Rachel, those have been my awesome. Big inspirations. And obviously yourself, Carolyn, you've been an educational resource, but also an inspiration. So yeah, it's people like that. I would say those are the leaders.
Love it.
Awesome. All right, Adam, is there anything we haven't talked about this evening that you want to leave our listeners with? Any thoughts on closing?
I mean, I guess if we're going to draw parallels to this experience, I tried something new and got out of my comfort zone. Again, obviously, it's a bit of a cliche and it's probably advice you can get from anyone, but it is true. You know, it's really fun and rewarding to challenge yourself with something new. You know, the progress I've seen and what I've learned, it's been incredible along the way. And it's kind of rejuvenated, you know, my personal relationship with exercise. It's given me a whole new perspective and a whole new way to go about things. So yeah, I think if someone was going to take advice, even if you were as far removed from anything endurance-based, such as I was 2 or 3 years ago, if you're thinking about it, just try it. If you hate it, at least you tried it and you can find out it's not for you and carry on about your day. But, you know, I thought I was going to be a couple months of training for a half and done. And, you know, now I'm hooked. So whether it's running or really anything else, if it's something you're interested or curious in trying, just do it and don't half-ass it. Find people who can give you advice. Find people who can inspire you. The internet and YouTube, there's so many free resources for literally any topic or any kind of exercise or fitness out there that you want. So you use those tools at your disposal. And a lot of people use the saying, moderation is for cowards. You know, I didn't want to half-ass this whole thing. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So,
Yeah. Well, that sounds like some great advice and some great perspective for this point in your running journey. I can't think of anything more fitting than somebody running his first marathon, a football player running your first marathon, and your finish line is going to be coming into Princess Auto Stadium, which is where the Bombers play, right? Like, how cool is that? Run on the field and cross the finish line for your first marathon. So if somebody wanted to follow along and maybe hear the story of how your first marathon went after this episode drops, where can somebody follow you?
You will be able to find me on Instagram at Adam Neilis, AdamNeilis. I'm sure the name will be up there somewhere in the description. I'm trying to post more frequently on there, trying to put out cool strength training content, you know, showcase some of the athletes I'm working with, showcase some of the stuff we're doing at Testify Performance. And heck, if a picture of me in some short shorts and Oakley sunglasses sneaks up on there along the way, who knows? But
hey, there's worse things than that, I think.
Well, the body glide.
Yeah. Nip guards. Yeah. We'll talk. Yeah. But on that note of finding professionals, finding people that can help you get to where you want to go, I honestly cannot recommend you highly enough and Testify and everybody there. It's just been such an awesome experience for me to kind of delve more into the strength side of things. And I think some people know this, and I've been injured, and so the strength training became much more important to me through that whole recovery and rehab process. But it's been so fun getting to know you, so fun being able to bounce these ideas off of you and help you a little bit on this first marathon journey. And we can't wait to follow along. So thank you for joining us. It's been a blast.
No, thanks for having me. And I think we have a big enough sample size of runners that have come through Testify and enjoyed it that I can safely say to any runner that may be listening to this that is reluctant about starting up strength training, no, you won't get bulky. No, you won't get slower. Yes, your hips and legs will feel better. Yes, you're going to have a really nice time listening to my bad jokes and dry sense of humor while you're there. And it's going to be super beneficial and helpful for you and your running. So if you're on the fence, reach out to someone, get started. I promise you won't regret it.
Check out the training programs at Testify.
We'll put a link in the show notes to everything. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.